All right, welcome back. Hope you guys have enjoyed the past couple lectures. Now we're going to look at one again by Dr. Toth and Dr. Bueller of NC State. This is pesticide transportation and storage. And some of this, guys, I mean, it's common sense. But, you know, believe it or not, there are going to be people who don't follow correct protocol and actually do some dangerous stuff, especially when transporting the pesticide. So let's go ahead and get started. I think it's 22 slides, so it's not too short. So you can see some of the lectures, they're getting a little bit shorter based on the unit. And let's enjoy this one. All right, pesticide transportation. You, the pesticide applicator, you are responsible for the safe transportation of pesticides in your possession. Hey, you can do all the great environmental and safety things while you're applying the pesticide, but you also got to remember when they're in your vehicle, you've got to safely transport them. Carelessness can result in broken containers, spills, contamination of the environment, and harm to yourself and other persons. Carelessness, one of the biggest things I've seen, somebody have a can of Roundup in the back of the truck. They go and remove a dead plant from somebody's yard, and they come back out of the truck, and they throw that shovel in the back of the truck. And what's that round point tip shovel do? Boom, punctures that pesticide container, and then you've got that leak. Then you jump in the truck, start driving down the road, and people honking at you, and you've got a little bit of spill coming out, or what's worse is then you get it raining, and then you've got all this foam coming out back. So be very careful, guys, especially when transporting it. Best thing to do is have a toolbox. You may need to vent that toolbox, but actually have the pesticides locked up in the back of your truck. Accidents can happen even if you are transporting pesticides safely and a short distance. Doesn't necessarily have to be you that caused the accident, but some of these other guys and gals on the road. The safest way to transport pesticides is in the back of a truck. A flatbed truck should have side or tail racks. I mean, here he has it in the back of the truck, but he has it tied up. Trucks with steel or plastic lined beds are preferred because they're more easily cleaned even in the event of a spill. Yeah, he could have put it in the toolbox, but like I said, ventilation becomes a problem. You need to ventilate the toolbox. Never carry pesticides in the passenger section of a car, van or truck. The vapors can make the driver or passengers ill. What person would even think about doing this? You know, it's not your date on Friday night. I mean, that can of Roundup needs to go in the back. I mean, it doesn't need to be sitting next to you. I know sometimes as expensive as these pesticides are, you do want to hold on to them tight, but you can't do that. You can't have them in the front seat. Never allow children, adult passengers, or pets to ride with the pesticides. So don't have your dog in the back if you've got Roundup. I've actually seen that. I've seen landscapers have their dogs with them, and they've got their chemicals in the back and then their pets in the back. But never transport pesticides with food, clothing, or other items meant for consumption or contact by humans or animals. You got that Roundup in the front, guys, and you get a double cheeseburger at lunch. And a little turns over, or you got the residue on the sides. You brush it up against your hand. You're eating. Not safe. Never leave vehicle unattended when transporting pesticides in unlocked compartment or an open bed. You don't want to do it. You don't want nobody stealing it. I mean, it's your hard-earned money that you bought that pesticide with. Plus, you don't want the wrong people to get hold of a pesticide. Containers. Transport pesticides only in containers with intact, undamaged, readable labels. You can see Roundup, and then you see the cleanup by Ortho. You can see what it is. Inspect the containers before loading to ensure that caps, plugs, and other openings are tightly closed and no pesticide is on the outside of the container. I mean, when you pour a container, you get a little bit of runover, and it runs down the side. You don't want that. You don't want to stick that in the back of your truck. Handle containers carefully to avoid rips or punctures. And then anchor all containers securely to avoid rolling or sliding. Provide packing to cushion the containers. Don't want them all over that truck. You need to secure them. Then protect pesticides from temperature extremes during transport. You don't want to transport if it's 100 degrees out there, guys. I mean, yeah, you're going to need it you know, you're probably going to be spraying Roundup on days that it gets hot. But you're not going to be spraying turf or anything like that if it gets over the temperature. So, but just watch your temperature. You may need to shut down for the day if the temperature gets too hot. And again, wow, look at this gorgeous picture of that methyl bromide. Some deadly stuff there, guys. You can see it. It's in a gas container. And those are things that, you know, are kind of difficult to transport. You know, I'm almost for, I don't want to say that because I do love applying pesticides. But, you know, my dad actually, you know, one time he subbed that out for the strawberry patch 1 year. Improper storage of pesticides. They can cause harms to humans, especially little kids. Domestic animals, wildlife, and the environment. You can see the little girl here in Grandpa's pesticide shed, and you know she's playing with it. Looks like she's got some seven dust or something all over. But improper storage can also cause accidents resulting from chemical fires, explosions, flooding, or spills that contaminate the wells, surface water, groundwater, and the soil. Proper storage of pesticides can extend the shelf life of pesticides. You want to extend that life. Again, your hard-earned money, you don't want to have to dispose of a half, half-full container of pesticide. Keep the containers in sound condition and keep pesticide labels clean and legible. You know, this is probably a dealer that's selling the pesticide. I mean, look how much lasso he has. But you're keeping it on pallets. Keeping it stacked, keeping it separate. You know, he's not storing anything that's combustible with each other. It's readily accessible. You know what chemical it is, so it's very, very good example of storage. Storage guidelines: establish a suitable storage site and facility. Secure the storage site and facility. Prevent water damage to the site and the containers. Control the temperature, heat, and cold. Provide adequate lighting in the storage facility. Use non-porous material to construct the floor. Prevent runoff of water, the pesticide, etc., from the site. And then prevent contamination of pesticides with other pesticide food, feed, seed, fertilizer, and equipment. And guys, what I recommend doing, we used to do this. We had a little, you see the little out barns that you can buy like big box stores? Or you could build something like that. But a little 10 by 10 storage area. It's got a roof over it, got shingles, it's ventilated, we ran power out to it, had a light in it, you can turn the light on and out. You know, you could actually stick a window unit air conditioning in it if you had pesticides that couldn't stand that temperature, or even like a little fan, you know, something to keep that air moving. But it was a neat little building. It was separate from anything else, so it wasn't near gas, it wasn't in our shop, where we have it with gasoline and oil and stuff like that. It kept the pesticides separate. And I do recommend those. You can build those inexpensive, pretty cheap, or you know, can buy one of these already pre-built units. But that's the perfect, my idea of a perfect pesticide storage shed. Keep labels on the pesticide containers intact and legible. You want to know what it is. Keep the containers closed to prevent spills, vapors, or contamination, or even a breakdown of the chemical. Then use original containers to store the pesticides. When you are in storage, yes, you may use tip and pours out in the field because you have a 2.5 gallon jug. You don't want to take that with you. So you pour some of that concentrate into a tip and pour, and that way you can fill your backpacks that way. But those tip and pours have to have the same labeling information on them. Watch for damage to the containers, tears, leaks, or rust. Store volatile chemical products separately, then isolate the waste products, chemicals, and containers held for disposal. So you're going to do that triple rinse of the containers that you've emptied. You want to keep your empty containers away from your full containers. And then know your inventory and consider pesticide shelf life. And what we like to try to do is not to have so much pesticide on hand at one time. We're going to buy what we're using. I'd rather go to the store once a week than to order it in 2 months in advance. I mean, that's my personal preference. Yeah, you might not get some discounts that you did if you pre-ordered it, but it's different when, you know, the lectures I talked about in the past about pre-order for turf care programs, we're talking about granular fertilizer. Your chemicals, I don't like to have so many of them on hand. I'd rather purchase it when needed. Pesticide storage rules for all pesticides includes household, farm, commercial storage, both general use and restricted use pesticide, store the pesticide containers to prevent leaking and to facilitate inspection. You want to know what's there. What is leaking? And if it is leaking, know what it is right away. And do not store pesticides in unlabeled containers. Look at all this good stuff here. Oh, look, there's some of that diazinon, right? When was it banned? Was it 1231, 2004? A lot of ortho products. There's diazinon again. Soil and foliage dust. I just like looking. Paraquat. Wow. Some of the good stuff there, right? Nasty stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry, I get excited. Do not store pesticides in any container previously used to hold food, feed, beverages, or medicine. I mean, seriously, look at this. There's a Coke bottle with brush killer on it. A little kid or you know, even an adult can walk in and just, man, it's hot. I mean, they're just, you see that shape of a Coke bottle. It's been that way for years. You just think it's, you know, a Coke. You pick it up and drink it. Never do that. Do not store pesticides in a way that would contaminate feed, food, beverages, tobacco, product, seed, or fertilizer. This stuff ain't coming in my house. You're not going to store your pesticide. You know, if you're a tobacco farmer, you're not going to store your pesticides in your tobacco sheds either. I mean, all that's going to be kept separate, guys. Store pesticides in accordance with recommendations for storage on pesticide labeling and the labeling on other products held in the same storage area. Some stuff you don't want to mix together. Store pesticides in an area not accessible to unauthorized persons. There's only your spray, your certified applicators need to have access to the chemicals. You know, the new guy that you've just hired to run a backpack blower or weed eater, he don't need to have a key to the pesticide shed. Keep it separate. And then store your pesticides in a dry, well-ventilated area. Store the pesticides in an area free of combustible materials, gasoline, kerosene, petroleum, and even debris. Anything that can catch on fire. You don't want it near it. Commercial storage of restricted-use pesticides includes any quantity of restricted-use pesticides stored by pesticide dealers and licensed pesticide applicators. Previously listed requirements for all pesticides apply to commercial storage of restricted-use pesticides and must use security precautions to prevent unauthorized access to stored pesticides. Blah, blah, blah. All right. For your storage, you must have this sign out here. A warning sign posted beside all entrances to your pesticide storage area. You gotta have it, guys. We had one on our shop. I think it's since either wind blew it off or it just got so old and kind of rusted off. But I'm sure my dad has some more in his office. We need to put it on there. But we're supposed to have this on every entrance into a pesticide storage area. Spills must be cleaned up immediately, not tomorrow or the next day. Use absorbent material and dispose of properly. Pesticide must be stored to prevent contact with water, and the pesticides must not be stored within 100 feet of a public water supply or within 50 feet of a private water supply. Private water supply, guys, your well. You don't want to have your well house pump right here and your storage of pesticides right there. They've got to at least be 50 feet away and then at least 100 feet of any public water supply. Restricted use pesticide must comply with all state and local fire and building codes and with all state environmental laws and regulations, and you must develop a pre-fire plan, one copy for the storage facility and one copy for the fire department. And with that, with your plan there, guys, you know, you're going to want to let the fire department know, you know, what pesticides you usually keep on hand. Yeah, if you're a lawn care operator, you're going to be using the same stuff pretty much year after year. If you're a farmer, you're going to be using pretty much the same pesticides, you know, over and over. I mean, if you're sticking to one thing, you're going to have that list and that pre-fire plan. You're going to keep it updated, you know, and you're going to send it to, you know, your volunteer firefighter, you know, firefighting station up the road. Or if you're in the city limits, you're going to let the city fire department know. But you need to let these guys know, because if you do catch fire, they need to know what's in there. That's, you know, common courtesy to those guys. Emergencies. Fire spill and release must be reported to the North Carolina Pesticide Board, fire department, and other appropriate state and federal agencies. You know, you don't want to just turn a big 50-gallon drum of this pesticide over and it leaks out all over the ground and then just forget it ever happened. You must report it. Must maintain a current inventory list of the brand names and formulations of stored pesticide, updated every 30 days. A copy of the list must be kept at a location separate from the storage facility and send it to the fire department. Large commercial facility storing the restricted use pesticides. Here, the gentleman with the methyl bromide, you know, he's even got the respirator on, even moving it. Good job. Rules apply to commercial storage facility that store 10 pounds of pesticides, RUPs. Previously listed requirements also apply to large commercial facilities. We've seen this in previous lectures. I also read about it in your in other chapters in your core manual. Pesticides must not be stored within 200 feet of schools, hospital, nursing homes. We saw this in first lecture of Unit 1, and a contingency plan for pesticide storage must be submitted to the North Carolina Pesticide Board, a copy retained at the storage facility. And that's for the large commercial facilities storing these restricted use pesticides. Important telephone numbers, Carolina Poison Center, North Carolina Emergency Management, Chemtrac, it's 24 hours for help with leaks, spills, and fires, then your North Carolina Pesticide Section, and the Secretary of the Pesticide Board. And references. The old book, but still a very good book if you have a copy, but still we are using the new core manual. This is a reference. Guys, I will see you in the next lecture.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.